Good morning, and welcome again to the Thursday morning edition of Mornings for the Master, a program heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea. I am your host on Thursdays. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week and a different course of study. On our Thursday program, we have been studying at this time the book of 1 Timothy. And today, in just a moment, we're going to be moving into chapter 2, and we'll be looking today at verses 1 through 8, and Paul's admonition to Timothy to pray for those in authority. Now remember, these programs are heard each weekday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And then they are replayed at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time each day. And they are posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Now, again, as we said, the thought for today is the need for us as Christians to pray for those in authority. So now let's go to our text, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ, and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, Paul's letter to Timothy, his purpose in writing this letter to Timothy can be found in chapter 3. And let's notice now verses 14 and 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. A very important part of our personal conduct in the family of God is our prayers. And we're going to look at that in our text today, here as Paul wrote to Timothy. And one of the things we're going to find is that these prayers for those in authority, and are to be offered for all men. Yet Paul does specify that it is for kings and all who are in authority, especially. Because of this, then, it is certainly appropriate for us to focus our attention on praying for those who are in authority. And this would be especially true whenever the winds of war are blowing or the truth is not in season. So first, let's consider what kind of prayers it is that we should be offering for kings and all who are in authority. What about our prayers for supplications? There are petitions that we should make for certain definitive needs. These should be our humble request that an individual should make in the light of this, or even that concrete situation in which God alone can furnish the help that is needed. For example, this is a prayer we should offer when our leaders, whether we particularly care for them or not, are faced with a crisis. Also, we need to consider our prayers. Perhaps Paul here is using prayers to refer to request to God for the fulfillment of needs that are always present. This may contrast with supplications, which are more for a specific situation. These types of prayers, in contrast to supplications, which might be offered for our leaders in a time of crisis, there's also these prayers for our leaders who just face the regular routine and duties of attempting to govern. Paul also stated the need to make intercessions. That is, for us to plead to him in the interest of others. We certainly should do this for others, for this is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ does for us. He speaks to the Father in the interest of us as Christians, his followers. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And so, for example, this would be our praying on behalf of one of our leaders. Now, Paul also instructed that there should be giving of thanks in our prayers, our supplications, and expressing of gratitude for the blessings which we have received. One might say this would be the completing of the circle that begins when the requests are first made, and then God responds. We receive the blessings, and then we give thanks. For example, when leaders have led their country to prosperity through wise decision and management of the affairs of a nation, or perhaps when they have led us out of a crisis, such as a wartime situation. These are the prayers that we are to offer for those who are in positions of authority. And we need to ask ourselves, how often have we uttered this type of prayer lately in our prayer life? Now, being as we have been instructed to pray for those in authority, one might ask the question, why should I pray for those in authority? Why should I pray for those who may be leading a nation, state, or county or city down the wrong path? Why should I pray for these? One reason is so that we can pray. We pray so that we can live in a certain way, so that we can live lives that are quiet and peaceable. Go back to verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We desire that we can live a tranquil and calm and serene life, especially in the area of our relationships with our fellow man. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. We pray for those in authority so we can more easily live lives in all godliness and reverence. Back in chapter 1, verse 2 says to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. For example, we pray that we may be able to live lives more easily with piety and gravity, most especially in our relationship with our God. Notice Paul's letter to Titus in chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. What does praying have to do with producing peace? Our God is in ultimate control. Notice Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Now, still in Daniel, notice chapter 4 and verse 25. As Daniel spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar, "They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." We need to remember Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." In the Revelation, notice chapter 1 and verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Our Father God can influence those in authority to do his will, and we need to understand that. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of waters. He turns it wherever he wishes." Also, Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. "Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation, and against the people of my wrath. I will give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Yet he does not mean so, nor does his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off not a few nations." We seem to be getting the picture of who is in control of the events of man. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 12. "Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks." Also in Isaiah chapter 10, just a few verses later, notice verse 15. "Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? as if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up, or as if a staff could lift it up, as if it were not wood. Let us understand that God is in control, but we can, let me repeat that, we can influence God through prayer. Luke chapter 18, verses 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Truly, the prayer closet is more likely to succeed than the voting booth, as many seem to believe, or the bomb of the terrorist. Prayer is much more powerful than either of those. We offer these prayers because this is good and acceptable to pray for those who are in authority. One reason is because God desires all men to be saved, the powerful, the poor, and everyone in between. Notice verses 3 through 7 in our text. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ, and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Our Father God sent Jesus to be the ransom, and he is now our mediator. And Jesus appointed men like Paul to go and proclaim the truth among the nations. The spread of truth is made easier when peace exists among the nations. In Paul's day, the spread of the gospel was helped by the peaceful relationships among the areas of the Roman Empire. Today, peaceful relations between countries opens doors for the gospel, whereas wars often stifle communication and disrupts transportation between countries. So it is good, then, for you and I to pray that peace may prevail, though we understand that sometimes even war has a place in God's providence. We might recall the words of the wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So now, as we see that we should pray for those in authority, we have understanding of why we pray for those in authority. And now let's consider where and how should we pray for those in authority. The answer to the question of where is everywhere. In light of chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, some think Paul refers to assemblies in every place. Notice here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Also, now notice chapter 2 and verse 8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. For example, this prayer should not be just for those in your own country, but instead for leaders in all countries. Pray for all who are in authority. Whether it's a nation that we are friendly with or an enemy, pray for good leaders. And also pray for those bad leaders. Now we are to do this in our assemblies, but let us remember we can pray in other places besides the assembly for those in authority or anything that we desire to pray about. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus said, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now, how we are to pray is a very interesting question. And what we will find is that the Bible tells us numerous ways in which one is to pray. This lifting up of holy hands. Notice one might pray standing. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 26. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Also, notice Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So one may pray standing. Also, we see that one might pray with hands spread out or lifted heavenward. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 22. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. We also find that one may pray when bowing the head before God. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There is also the posture and prayer of lifting heavenward of the eyes. John chapter 17 and verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Also, another way that one might pray is kneeling. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 36, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. There's also the prayer of one falling down with the face upon the ground. Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So one might pray with their face to the ground, humbling themselves before God, but one might also pray while bowing the head with the face between the knees in subjection. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees. In all of these, we see a picture of humbling and subjection. We might remember the bowing of the head while striking the breast in Luke 18 in verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is interesting that if you search the scriptures, it is not recorded anywhere and is not recorded by the early church, the custom we often see today of closing the eyes while folding the hand. But when you see these numerous ways, I think we can deduct from that the particular posture one might take to pray is not the important factor. What is important is the inner attitude of the soul. Now, certainly, our posture should reflect our inner posture. In other words, what would slouching while you pray suggest? Paul here seems to be emphasizing holy hands. Thus, hands and lives that are not living in a polluted form by sin. And prayers of confession and contrition should be offered before making request for the blessings of God. But now, part of the how to this question is that we are to do it without wrath or doubting. Now, without wrath, to have the attitude toward another that makes our prayers unacceptable to God. Notice Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now James wrote in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This does not leave room for prayers of anger against our leaders. Also, we are to pray without doubting. Just as prayers for wisdom must be offered in faith, so should the prayer for peace. Notice again in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Could you substitute peace for wisdom in this verse? Just a thought. Now, as we kind of bring things together in our time today, let us remember that as the people of God, we should be the salt of the earth. As Christians, one of the best things that we can do is to make the earth a more pleasant place. And the way we do that is to fulfill our duty to pray for those in authority. Today, are you able to lift prayers with holy hands? Or are you trying to deceive yourself when your prayers are actually an abomination to the Lord? Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9 says, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." Friend, if you desire a quiet and peaceable life, then let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse your hands and your heart so that your prayers will be heard. And remember from our text that God desires all men to be saved. We close with verse 4. "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that you have enjoyed and benefited from our time together. I have certainly been encouraged by your presence. Remember, our program will be replayed at this same time this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that it will be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Remember to stay tuned throughout the day for the programming here on the network, a much better option than the broadcast radio or the television set. Also, remember to tune in again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on Mornings for the Master, when your host will be Brother Chip Horton, who will bring you another great lesson, as he always does. And if the Lord wills, I will see you again next week, next Thursday, at this same time, here on Mornings for the Master. So till we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless.